We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion line their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Good song. Thank you, Ryan, for that. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, I'm going to try to put the final period on the missions conference tonight. 2 Corinthians 9, and a familiar passage of Scripture. But please keep your Bible open after we read a couple of verses, and we will move to some other passages and kind of work our way back to 2 Corinthians 9. And let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. I begin reading in verse 8. Please join me on verse 9. I'll close with verse 10. 8, 9, 10, chapter 9, book 2 Corinthians, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And I want to speak tonight on a win, win, win. A win, win, win. Not W-H-E-N, W-I-N, like win, victory. A win, win, win. Father, help us tonight as we get into your word. May the Holy Spirit of God guide us into all truth. May he help us tonight. May we come with open heart. May we come with open mind, and not with open book. and the Holy Ghost have all the opportunity to minister to our hearts tonight, to plant the good seed on good ground, to bring forth good fruit in our lives. May we fill your hand, do your bidding in this area of Christian living. And God, we thank you for the privilege to serve you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, He who is above all. We are your children. We belong to you. There is no greater calling in life. Thank you for it. Help us tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I don't know how many times you find yourself in a win-win situation. Not often in the realm of normal life. You may find yourself in more lose-lose situations than win-win situations. But once in a great while, you find yourself in a win-win situation. You go this way, you go that way, it doesn't matter. You're going to win either way you go. As people of God, when it comes to the commands of God, we find ourselves always in win-win situations. Always. Okay, now, we know the context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, so I'm not going to belabor that tonight. Paul is exhorting the church in Corinth concerning the offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And in these verses here, he uses the example of sowing and reaping to encourage their giving. Look at verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So he's not talking about agriculture here. He's talking about giving, okay? He's using agriculture as an illustration. So let him give, verse 7, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In other words, what Paul is teaching these people here is that the laws of the harvest are applicable to us concerning our offerings. Now stay with me a moment. God blesses tithing. God blesses that. But that is commanded giving. Okay? And if we don't tithe, we're disobedience to God. All right. God said, and God blesses that. God said in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. So God said, you tithe and I'll bless you. And he does. Even though it's commanded, he didn't have to, he does, because he's a benevolent God. He's a gracious God. And so he's talking about tithing in Malachi 3:10. He blesses tithing. This does not mean that there won't be any tests. This does not mean there won't be any trials financially if we tithe, but it does mean that God blesses those who tithe. Now, as far as entering into the laws of the harvest with our giving, tithing, I don't believe that applies. The laws of the harvest apply to offerings. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's not talking about tithing. He's talking about giving beyond the tithe. He's talking about grace giving. That which is not commanded, but is encouraged. So while you and I can, you know, we can look to be blessed if we tithe and are obedient to God, because you know what, folks? God just blesses obedience of all kinds. And tithing's obedience. So God blesses that, okay? But we can't look to the laws of the harvest to be involved as far as our tithing goes. We can look to the laws of the harvest to learn about our grace giving. What are those laws? I have a whole sermon on those laws. You've heard it, so I'm not going to re-preach it. What are those laws? Law number one, you reap what you sow. You sow everything to temporal things, you're only going to reap temporal benefits. What you sow to eternal things reaps eternal benefits because you reap what you sow. Number two, you reap more than you sow. That's the law of the harvest. You know, if a farmer wants to reap an ear of corn, he doesn't plant an ear of corn. He plants a kernel, a grain, and he gets an ear. You reap more than you sow. You reap in proportion to how you sow. And what that basically saying is, you know, God doesn't judge by quantity amount. God judges by proportion. Okay. And then you reap after you sow. You got to sow first to reap. Okay. That's the laws of the harvest. Now, all of those laws apply to giving that is beyond the tithe. Now, don't misunderstand me. God blesses tithing. He blesses tithing abundantly because God blesses obedience. This is not commanded giving. This is giving that, you know, God says, really? You know, Paul is saying to them, this would be advantageous to you if you do this. It'd be to your advantage to get involved in this. Because when you get into giving beyond the tithe, you enter into the laws of the harvest when it comes to your giving. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap in proportion to how you sow. And you reap after you sow. When you grace give, go beyond the tithe, you enter into the laws of the harvest. And grace giving is what missions giving is. Okay? Because it's not commanded. It's advised, it's encouraged, it's necessary, but it's not commanded. Now look at verse number 8. We talked about this morning. This is the verse I was referring to this morning. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God can change a miser into a liberal. Okay? Just like he can change a drunkard into a sober person. Okay? That's the grace of God. All grace, and make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency, that may abound to every good work. So, here we go. Paul is teaching, he's writing about this, the laws of the harvest as they apply to grace giving. And then in verse number 9 and 10, what's in your Bible there? Parenthesis. Got a parenthesis there. Now, parentheses are kind of like footnotes. They're used to clarify or endorse what has just been stated, what's just been said. So Paul, get the picture, get the setting. He's writing here to these people in Corinth, hey, have your offering for the poor saints ready. And Corinthian people, when you get into the area of giving to poor saints, that is not commanded giving, that is grace giving. God blesses commanded giving. But when you enter into grace giving, you enter into the laws of the harvest, man, you talk about getting blessed. Wow. And then he quotes from the Old Testament, Psalm 112. Now hold your finger here, 2 Corinthians 9, and let's go back to Psalm 112. Just bear with me, stay with me. I got a lengthy introduction and then four short points for you, okay? So let's go to Psalm 112. I'm not going to belabor this. We've been in church quite a bit the last 7 days, and I know that, understand it. But, you know, folks, church is a good place to be. Amen, it just is. Psalm 112. Now, when you get to Psalm 112, if your Bible is like mine, it may not be, I've got Psalm 111 and Psalm 112 on the same page. They are companion psalms. And it's amazing how similar they are. If you could line them up on your paper side by side, you would see they are almost identical in length. They are both 10 verses. They're both the same structure almost in those 10 verses. They both start with the statement, praise ye the Lord. They are very similar psalms, but they have different subjects. Psalm 111 speaks of the glory of God, the wonders of God. Psalm 112 speaks of the people who live for God. So Psalm 111 says this is who God is, this is what God is like, and Psalm 112 says this is what the people are like who serve and worship the God of the previous chapter. Are you with me? You understand that? Okay? So they're very similar psalms. This is what God is like, and this is what the people who live for God are like. Now, then he goes, so then he says in verse number 9, this is the verse that Paul quotes, Psalm 112, verse number 9. He hath this, because what does Paul say in Corinthians? He says, as it is written. Anytime you find that, what's that referring to? Old Testament. All right, so here we go. As it is written, and he quotes verse 9, he hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. Oh, so the person touched by the glory of God is a free-hearted, open-hearted person. He dispersed. He gives to the poor. Should that surprise us? No. Psalm 111 is about God. Psalm 112 is about the people who live for God. And if the people who live for God are going to live for Him, if they're true people of God, they're going to have an open, free heart because that's the kind of heart God has. Right? God's not a miser. Never has been. He's an open-hearted, benevolent, abounding in beyond, stretching and going beyond the boundaries. And so he says about a person who lives for God, in verse number 9, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. What is that offering that Paul is writing about in 2 Corinthians 9? What is that? Who is that for? The poor. So Paul goes back to the Old Testament, grabs a verse and brings it to the New Testament. All right? Then look what he says in verse number 9. His righteousness endureth forever. That's not talking about his salvation. Although, you know, salvation is forever, but that's talking about this man's righteous act. Listen now. This man's righteous act of dispersing, this giving to the poor, that righteous act will endure forever. God will never forget it. God marks it down. God sees it. God knows it. God's aware of it. And that righteous act, this benevolent-hearted man, because he serves a God who's a benevolent-hearted God, and because his God is benevolent-hearted, the man is benevolent-hearted, he disperses, he gives to the poor, and this righteous act endureth forever. And then he says, his horn shall be exalted with honor. God will honor that kind of person. That's the verse that Paul quotes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, talking about dispersing abroad, sown, moved beyond supplying his own needs to helping supply the needs of others. That's what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians 9. He goes all the way back to the Old Testament, grabs a verse and says, this is what the people of God have always been like. People of God have been open-hearted people. People of God have been benevolent people. People of God have been liberal in this area, okay? Look with me in Isaiah chapter 32, okay? And folks, you know if this applies to giving to poor people for food and material goods, you know this applies as well to giving to missions in our day and age. Now look at Isaiah chapter 32. That's where we were this morning, okay? We were in Isaiah 32 this morning. Now look at verse number 20 here. In Isaiah 32, okay? Look at the very last verse in this chapter. What a great verse. He says here in the very last verse, he's talking about being liberal. If you weren't here this morning, you have to listen to the message or get it, okay? He finishes this, verse 20, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Now people, waters speaks of multitudes of people. Blessed is the person who sows beside all waters. He hath dispersed. He has extended. He has stretched himself beyond himself. Giving to missions, the missions program here at Faith Baptist Church, allows me to sow beside many different waters. I put my offering in the plate this morning. When I dropped that mission money in the plate this morning, I sowed in Japan and Australia and Thailand and New Guinea and to the military in the island of Okinawa. I sowed to Germans, to French, to Italians, and to the military in Sicily. I sowed to the Africans in Kenya and Nigeria, Uganda, Zimbabwe, and those on the island of Madagascar. I sowed to the Ukrainians, the Belarusians, and the Russians. I sowed to those in Argentina and Chile and other... I sowed to all those places this morning. If you gave to missions, you sowed to all those places. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. This, you know, look what God is saying here. Paul goes back to, okay, the offering is for the poor people, but we can make application to missions giving. People, look, God doesn't forget it. The results are eternal. Food keeps a person physically alive for a window of time. The gospel saves a soul for a timeless eternity. Timeless eternity. If God doesn't forget the food giving, he certainly won't forget the gospel giving. All right? That's what I'm saying here. So now let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, now we're going to go. So this is what Paul does. He runs back to the Old Testament, grabs a verse. You know, that Old Testament is not relevant. It's just not relevant. Today, it's just not relevant. It was real relevant to the Apostle Paul. It was even more relevant to Jesus, but it's not relevant to us, not in this day. How ridiculous. Now look at verse number 10, okay? Here's the win-win-win-win situation. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. We're going to break it down. Four quick points. Here we go. Number one, God gives the seed to the sower. Look at the first part of the verse, verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower. The sower, in our case, is the grace giver, the one who disperses abroad, the one who sows beside all waters. These are the people who give to missions. People, where do we get what we give? From God. Now he that ministereth seed to the he in verse number 10 is talking about God. God gives us what we give out of. Now, I know you know that. You know, where do we get what we give? Whatever dollar amount you and I put in the plate for missions today, or whenever you give, where does that money come from? It comes from him. Now let's come back down to the realm of the physical. Where does the farmer get his seed to plant his crop? Well, he gets it from a previous seed corn harvest. Okay, where does that come from? Let's go back. Keep your finger here. Look at Isaiah 55, and we'll find out where this type of stuff comes from. Isaiah 55, let's go back there. It's okay, just use your Bible. We're not going to be turning to a whole lot of other places. Isaiah 55, and look at verse, oh, I love these verses anyway, so let's start with verse number 8, okay? Isaiah 55, 8. I don't want to start too quick, but I don't want to stay long either. You ready? Verse number 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'm glad I've got a God I can't wrap my mind around. Okay? Verse 10, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give what? To the, and bread to the eater. So where does the farmer get his seed? Where does all, you know where? Well, he works hard. Tell you where he gets it. He gets it by the good graces of God. And the rain came today. We needed it. Brother Maxwell can tell you, it may not have done a whole lot of good for the crops that are out there this year. It's been dry for a while. But the rain comes and the snow comes. It comes from God. It comes from heaven. God waters the earth. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And you and I reach into our bank accounts. We reach into our pocketbooks and our wallets. And we pull some money out. And we tithe what we're supposed to. And then we give to missions. And the very fact that we have anything to give to missions is testimony. It's acknowledgement that our seed came from him. Are you with me? It came from the Lord. God gives us the mental ability. God gives us the physical dexterity. God gives us the health. God gives us everything in order for us to be capable of making an income. So what we give out of has first been given to us. Very important that we understand this, because this eliminates the Nabal attitude in 1 Samuel 25. And the farmer's attitude in Luke chapter 12. My barns, my good, my crops, my sheep, my. Whoa. Where'd that come from? That came from the good hand of God Almighty. So God gives the seed to the sower. Number two, God meets our needs with the seed he gives us. Look at it again, verse number 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. So God gives us seed. We're talking about money. God gives us an income. And with this income, we get to eat bread. Amen. And we get to eat chicken. And once in a while, a piece of steak. And a good old pork chop. Because we're in the New Testament, and it's all clean. Amen. Poor Lester Roloff had to wait till he got to heaven to find out that he could eat a pork chop. With the money God gives us, he meets the needs that we have. Who puts a roof over our head? God does. Who puts clothes on our back? God does. Who puts food on our table? God does. Who puts vehicles in our garages, our driveways? God does. That comes out of what He gives, the seed. Are you with me? The seed that He gives us. God doesn't. God, and here's the, God is happy for me to have a house. He's happy for me to have a car. He's a little bit disappointed if it's a Ford. But He's happy for us to have a vehicle. He's happy for us to have clothes on our back. He's happy for us to have a place to, a place to live. He is happy for us to have food to eat. He does not expect, listen, He does, God gives seed and the seed ministers bread for your food. Who's He talking to? The Corinthian people. God gave you money, and with that money, you buy bread for your food. And that came from God. And God's happy. God does not expect us to starve ourselves to death. In fact, that's not right. God does not expect us to go without a vehicle. God does not expect us to go without a place to live or without a clothes on our back. He gives us seed, money, for us to have to eat our bread. Do you see that? Are we together? Okay. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, gives us the seed, gives us the money, the income, both minister bread for your food. So God meets our needs with the seed He gives us. Number three, I told you they would be fast. Number three, God multiplies the seed I sow in other places. Look at the verse. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, what's that next little word? Both. We've heard that word both before. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Both. Brother Thompson mentioned this. Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria. It does not mean one at a time. It means all of them. See the word both? So God says, I gave you some seed. I gave you some money. With some of that money, you have bread for your food. With some of that money, you have a house over your head. With some of that money, you have clothes for your back. You have a vehicle to drive. You have an insurance policy. You do things. And multiply your seed sown. Multiply your seed sown. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. What He's talking about there, folks, multiply your seed sown, is the part of the income that He gives us that's not spent on us. It's sown beside all waters. It's dispersed. It's given out. It doesn't go to provide a roof over my head or food for my table or clothes for my back or a vehicle for me to drive. In this case, it goes so somebody can hear the gospel message. And the Bible says God multiplies your seed sown. God gives us, look, listen very carefully, because I didn't read this anywhere, because I've been just excited about this. The money that I spend on my needs is not misspent. He gave me some for bread for my food. It's not misspent, but it's not multiplied. The only part that's multiplied is that which I sow in other places. God, He's not mad at me for living out here and having a house. And I'm not ashamed of the house God gave us 26 years ago. Gave us a great house at a great price. Had a family with 9 kids. Their mom and dad were getting a divorce. They just let the house just go. The kids had kicked holes in the walls. I can't even go into it. God's given me some of my income so I can have a house. And God's given us some of our income so that we can eat. And that money is not misspent. But that money is not multiplied. But when I drop money in the offering plate for missions, oh, that seed is multiplied. So, Some of the money that we give to the offering for missions goes to Kevin Wynn. He witnesses, he preaches the gospel in Mexico City. A man gets saved. And then his wife gets saved, and then his kids get saved. He goes to Mount Zion Bible Institute, and God calls him into the ministry. And then he serves with Kevin Wynn, and he sends his boys off to Bible college, and he starts bringing folks to church in Mexico City. And one of the guys that he brings to church in Mexico City gets saved under the ministry there. And then that guy gets excited. He goes to the Bible Institute, and God calls him to Bolivia and Ecuador or Peru, some Latin American country somewhere. And he goes with the gospel, and he wins people, and they begin to meet for a service. And one of those men that he reaches in that country goes to another country, and people get... Where does it stop? Where does giving to this ever stop? It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Folks, who is it? Bob Devitt? Somebody came here at a Revival Fires conference. They were over in Burma, and they found converts. This was just like 5 years ago. They found converts in Burma who, if you follow the line back, had been reached by Adoniram Judson 200 years earlier. Those Burmese people got saved, and they won people, and they won people, and they won people, and they won. Wouldn't you love to have invested in Adoniram Judson? God multiplies the seed that we sow. God's not angry with what I spend on my food. I guess I could get lavish and crazy, you know, wasteful, eating McDonald's five times a week. You know, Burger King, the other three. There's only 7 days in the other two. Although some people probably go to Burger King and McDonald's twice, each on the same day. But you understand, if I'm sensible, God, it's not misspent for me to have a suit. And by the way, I know you do this, but folks, you can really make your money stretch if you just are careful. I bought a suit for $78. $78. Clearance. Online, Joseph A. Bank, $78. I know you do. I know a lot of you ladies, you stretch. You know, your husband gives you so much, and you really stretch that, man. You make it go. God's not angry with that. God's not upset that I got a suit on tonight, okay? God's not upset that you got a pantry full of food. God's not upset. He gave you some of your income so you could have bread. But he doesn't multiply that. Let me ask you a question. How many of you ate today? How many of you plan on eating tomorrow? So the food you ate today is not multiplied till tomorrow. You understand? Do you get it? That what you put in the plate this morning for those missionaries that we support out there, that keeps them on the field to preach the gospel, that investment never stops. It goes on and 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 on. And God gives us seed, and we plant some of it for ourselves, and we eat our bread, and we clothe our backs, and we have a roof over our heads, and we drive a vehicle. Then we take some of the seed that God gives us, and we sow beside many waters. We disperse it. We send it out. And that which we send out, God multiplies it. And then Brother Thompson dwelt on this in length, so I won't have to. Number four, God credits the fruits to our account. You're kidding me. You mean you give it to me? The only reason I can send it out is because you give it to me. You give it to me, and because I send it out, you credit the fruit to my account? Find a place to work like that. There is none. Look at what he says at the end of verse 10. And increase the fruits of your righteousness, not your salvation, your righteous acts because you're saved. Your righteous behavior. This is a righteous thing that you're doing. It's a good thing. It's the right thing. When you take some of the seed money that God gives you and you put it in bread for your food, and at the same time, you take both. You do both. You get bread for your food, and you get seed, that money that can be sent to the beside all waters to these missionaries. And okay, these folks start getting saved, and every time it's just, can you imagine, folks, can you imagine up in heaven Here are these people who invested in Adoniram Judson's ministry in the early 1800s, and in the 2000s, their account is still cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. And that's not just good preaching. That's reality. He increases the fruits of your righteousness. Win, 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 win. God gives me enough so that I can have bread to eat and a house over my head and a vehicle to drive and clothes on my back and maybe even a little recreation with my family. And at the same time, both, I can sow by all waters and disperse abroad and give to these families to take the gospel, and people start getting saved and lives start getting changed. And God says, you know what? And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give all the fruit to you. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. You talk about win, 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 win. Missions giving is win, 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 win. You can't lose. Now, does this mean that God never tests us, never tries us? No. God never tests us. God tests us. God tries us. God puts us in situations to see if we're serious. God puts us in situations to see if we just want to do this because we love Him, or are we just going to do it because, you know, cha-ching, cha-ching up in heaven. What are we going to do? I mentioned earlier, you know, we had a couple guys that got real bad news. On Thursday, missions conference closes Wednesday night. Thursday, we're closing this plant in 1 month. Done. That's not easy. But that company, men, and the company that all you men work for don't minister seed to you. God ministers seed to you. That's where it comes from. It might come through this company, might come through this corporation, come through this store, but ultimately, it comes from Him. And we take some of it, and it's both bread for us and seed to be sown beside all waters. And all the fruit, all the results get credited to us. Win, win, win. Why would anybody not want to be at a missions conference? Why would anybody not want to be bothered by missions giving? It's a win-win for everybody. The lost soul wins. The missionary wins. The people in the church win. God wins. God gets no glory out of folks dying and going to hell. It's a win-win, win-win-win. The matter of giving to missions. Blessed are ye that sow beside many waters. Paul said, disperse it, send it out, give grace giving. Everybody wins. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I appreciate your interest, your involvement, your participation, your everything for this year's conference. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Missions Conference is not over. It's really just beginning. The preaching is over. The services are over. The decorations are coming down this week. But it just starts for a new year in our hearts now. Father, we give ourselves to you and just ask and pray, oh God, that you please give us an obedient heart. May we bring an obedient heart to the table. Thank you for one of the most wonderful programs that could ever have been invented. This is a win, 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 win for everybody. And I rejoice in it and thank you for the privilege of participating in a win, 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 win situation. What a joy. Help our church, help our people to be obedient, adults, teenagers, children. May we follow your leading. Would you help us? And may it result in your glory and lost souls coming to your kingdom. I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you haven't turned in a missions commitment, pray about it. Get with God this week. Let God work it in. Don't be under pressure. Just be in prayer. Okay? And If you can't give to missions based on your current income, as I preached this morning, Isaiah 32, devise a way. Find a way. Don't sit down in the pool of I can't. Find a way. Be a liberal. It's a win-win-win-win situation. Bless the message, my Father, I pray. If anybody needs to be saved, you come, baptized, you come. The altar's open as the ladies play a song of invitation. And we'll finish up tonight. Several days, several messages on the subject. Have you obeyed the Lord? Have you talked to God about it? Have you entered into this with your heart and soul? And it's an exciting, exciting, exciting thing to think the God of heaven would allow us to participate in this wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Amen and amen.